This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Ed. Today is the 23rd of November, and this podcast episode is brought to you by asset inventory and network visibility company Run Zero. In today's top story, Meta's security team has formally confirmed the involvement of the US military in a pro-Western influence operation the social network took down this summer. The company says it removed 39 Facebook accounts, 16 Facebook pages, and 26 Instagram accounts that tried to pose as locals in various countries. The accounts posted content in different languages and across several countries as part of an influence operation meant to praise the anti-terrorism efforts of the US military and criticize China, Russia, and the Taliban. Meta said that despite a years-long effort, the campaign gained no traction or engagement amongst its audiences. Meta says the network posted primarily during US East Coast business hours rather than during work hours in the countries that they actually targeted, and that despite efforts from operators to conceal their identity and coordinate, the social networking giant was able to link the accounts to individuals associated with the US military. The influence operation described by Meta in its report is the same campaign first described at the end of August in a joint report from Graphica and Stanford Internet Observatory. The initial report specifically linked the operation to the Trans-Regional Web Initiative, an obscure DoD project launched 15 years ago. In other news, the US Department of Justice has urged the US Supreme Court not to hear an appeal from spyware maker NSO Group, which is trying to overturn a court ruling that barred it from selling spyware targeting Meta products. NSO Group has asked the Supreme Court to consider its claim that it should be treated as a government and granted state immunity. The DOJ says there is no reason NSO Group should receive such immunity for its commercial spyware business because there's no previous instances where private companies have received state immunity, and also that no foreign state has come to the defense of NSO Group, and that the company has not even identified any of the states that it sold its products to, and there's just no ground to grant the company such broad protection. A member of the Russian parliament has floated the idea of awarding Russian hacktivists military ranks and state awards as a way to thank them for attacks carried out across the world in the defence of the Russian state. The idea was put forward in a Telegram post by Dmitry Gusev, a member of the political party A Just Russia, and quoted a press release from pro-Kremlin hacktivist group ZakNet. A Mandiant report, published in September, found ties between data leaked by ZakNet and intrusions performed by cyber units of the GRU, Russia's military intelligence service. It's unclear if Gusev was aware of this report and that ZakNet operators are most likely eligible for military ranks and state medals already. Russian authorities have seized two Bitcoin wallets from a law enforcement official who was investigating the InFraud cybercrime organization. According to court documents shared online, the wallets held more than 1,000 Bitcoin worth more than $16 million and are believed to have been bribes the investigator received from the gang's lawyer. A Moscow court, meanwhile, has slightly reduced the prison sentence of Konstantin Kozlovsky, a controversial Russian hacker and the leader of the infamous Lurk cybercrime cartel, which was disbanded by Russian authorities back in 2015. The court reduced Kozlovsky's sentence to 13 years and 4 months in prison from the initial 14 years he received earlier this spring. Moving on to US cybercrime investigations, and the US Department of Justice charged 10 suspects across the US for stealing just over $11 million in BEC scams. Officials said the group posed as business partners to divert money from various healthcare organizations. The DOJ says five state Medicaid programs, two Medicare administrative contractors, and two private health insurers all lost money to the group. The DOJ has also seized seven websites that were being used to trick victims as part of an online scam known as pig butchering. Now, pig butchering schemes are a combination of romance, investment, and cryptocurrency scams, where victims are approached via dating sites and then social engineered into making various investments or cryptocurrency transactions. Pig butchering scams originated in Southeast Asia, where they've got deep ties to criminal cartels, and they're now spreading globally. The DOJ says the seized domains impersonated the Singapore International Monetary Exchange and were used to steal more than 10 million from at least five victims. Researchers from bot mitigation company Casada say they've identified a new type of automated bot attack named freebie bots. How it works is a threat actor scans retail websites for mispriced goods and services, purchasing them at scale before the error is fixed, and then reselling the products on underground online communities for profit. Casada said that in one of these popular freebie bots communities, threat actors were selling nearly 100,000 products obtained from more than 250 retail companies for a combined retail value of $3.4 million. Researchers at Pixum said they're tracking a sophisticated phishing campaign that has targeted users of cryptocurrency services and wallets like Coinbase, MetaMask, KuCoin, and Crypto.com. Researchers say threat actors use phishing sites that are capable of intercepting multi-factor authentication tokens, allowing them access to the accounts. And whenever they encounter a problem, the attackers use a tech support chat window embedded on the phishing site to trick victims into opening a remote desktop session, which then allows the threat actor to approve their own device and gain access to the victim's wallet before draining their accounts. Sports betting service DraftKings has confirmed that hackers accessed customer accounts and stole more than $300,000 from their deposits. In a message on Twitter, DraftKings denied rumours that hackers breached their back-end infrastructure and blamed the incident on users who reused passwords across different online accounts. US news agency Radio Free Asia has disclosed a security breach that exposed the personal information of more than 3,700 of its employees. RFA said that a threat actor exploited a vulnerability in the system of a service provider and gained access to a limited number of servers. The agency said it took down compromised servers and is now moving to a new email provider and asking employees to change their passwords. Researchers from Chinese security firm Tianxin have spotted a new IoT malware strain named RobinBot that's been used to carry out DDoS attacks. Researchers say the malware uses codes borrowed from the Mirai and Gafgut families, supports multiple DDoS attack methods, and can spread via telnet password brute forcing and vulnerability exploitation. Antivirus maker Avast has spotted a major change in the tactics employed by the operators of the ViperSoft X info stealer. In the past, this group has used malware to steal cryptocurrency-related files and credentials from infected computers, but Avast says that in recent attacks, the ViperSoft X operators have switched to installing an extension for Chromium-based browsers on infected computers. Avast researchers say the group uses this browser extension to execute a man-in-the-middle attack when users visit cryptocurrency platforms and then steal credentials and swap wallet addresses in real time. And that's all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode, we have the principal security researcher at Run Zero, Pierce Barry, who'll be sharing some insights on CISA's binding operational directive 2301.
Last month, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, also known as CISA, published Binding Operational Directive 2301. Written around the goal of improving asset visibility and vulnerability detection on federal networks, this directive clearly calls out the importance of asset visibility, stating, quote, "Continuous and comprehensive asset visibility is a basic precondition for any organization to effectively manage cybersecurity risk," end quote. Coupling network asset discovery with vulnerability enumeration, CISA uses this directive to lay a sound groundwork for any cybersecurity program, whether compliance is required by U.S. law, as it is for FCEB agencies, or not. At Run Zero, we make network asset discovery easy. Check out our latest blog post at runzero.com/blog to learn how Run Zero can be a part of your solution to Binding Operational Directive 2301.
And that was Pierce Barry from today's sponsor, Run Zero. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com.